Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Raízen video conference to discuss results relative to the second quarter of 2022. This video conference is being recorded and the replay may be accessed at the company's website at horizonvr.com.br/ri. The presentation will also be available for download. We would like to inform you that all participants will be only watching this video conference during the presentation, and after that, we'll start a Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Before moving on, we'd like to reinforce that forward-looking statements are based on assumptions and beliefs of Raízen top management and current information available to the company. These statements may involve risks and uncertainties as they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists should be aware that events related to the macroeconomic environment, industry, and other factors could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in the respective forward-looking statements. Today, are present in this video conference, Mr. Milton Pilon, CEO of Raízen, and Mr. Leonardo Santos, Deputy CFO and RO. I'd like now to turn the floor over to Mr. Pilon, who will start his presentation. Please, Mr. Pilon, the floor is yours. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your presence and for your time when we present the results presentation for Raízen related to the second quarter of this year. This quarter was a different one because in this quarter we have integrated the assets coming from UPI Aterros. Six landfills were acquired by our company in the middle of the year. We also started operating the commissioning of UTE Paulínia, also very important to the company. So this quarter was a very different one, a particular one. And in our message from the management, I separate explanations. Obviously, from the next quarter on, we'll have a very important one, but now for this quarter, we will explain the performance of our original assets and also discuss the new assets integrated to our structure. So in the first part of this presentation, let me talk about the highlights of this period. This is a very interesting slide because it shows the change of scope of Raízen from this quarter on. If you look to your left, you see the number of eco parks that we used to have till 2021. By the end of the year was 5, and the number of eco parks that we have now, I mean, with new 7 eco parks, we have 12. We have the Cuiabá eco park bought by the end of the last quarter, and other 6 eco parks from UTI Aterro, which were integrated throughout this period. So when you talk about this slide, you can see that you increase the volume of residues that are received and processed in our landfills. We have our garbage bank, as we call it. We increase the number of waste processed from 4.8 to 8.1 million tons a year. And so this waste, the EBITDA and the income coming from the management of this waste are also accounting for our results. But the beauty of this slide and to your right is how much we'll have of better results and better income for the next few years, given the potential to generate biogas, carbon credits, RDF, and recycling. These new 7 assets will bring this to us. So we will work towards achieving this income regarding these assets. In terms of biogas generations, we have today 768 cubic meters a day. of biogas, and we have a potential of generating 2,500 normal cubic meter a day. And then this is the same for all the metrics here. They will increase with these new assets. We'll have the possibility of taking advantage of all of these gains in our new waste bank. So in the next slide, let me talk about two highlights of this period. One of them is the UT Paulínia Verde, which has a lot to do with the previous slide because it's one of the six landfills that were acquired. This is the landfill in Paulínia that receives the waste coming from the metropolitan region of Campinas, which is a very rich region in the São Paulo state. And right after we acquired this landfill, we quickly implemented a whole system to capture biogas, as I explained in several other calls. And in our biogas capture network, from that waste which was buried in that eco park. And in parallel, we built a plant to generate power from biomethane. And we have a plant in which we have 33% of participation. It is a transformation plant from this network. And then we turn this biogas through a purification plan, we turn it into biomethane. So it shows first the capacity of our company not only to manage landfills, but also to build and manage power plants and renewable biogas plants like the biomethane plant. So this is the first experience as the managers of a plant like this. So in the pre-IPO, we managed to the field of biogas, and we would deliver biogas to an outsourced company, which would invest in purification and processing to transform that into a renewable gas or power. So this is our first experience as the owner, the manager of a plant like this. And we've been pretty efficient given the time of implementation. Look at the picture. You can understand the size of this plant, which was built in 8 months. And we also had an emergency bid with several companies shown by the media, several companies that achieved or were included in the competition. And then we delivered. It was done, this process was done last year, 1,800 megawatts per 1,800 reais per megawatt. And this plant will use from 35 to 40% of the biomethane that is generated in this landfill. So we'll still have 60, 65% of this biogas remaining there generating at that landfill. And with that, we will build new biomethane purification plants to sell biomethane as a renewable gas to the market. We have advanced business negotiations to sell this gas for 10 years. These contracts are expected to have 10 years. So can you go back? Can you please go back to the previous slide? Thank you. So basically, this plant in Paulínia, as I have already mentioned in the message from the management, it had negative results, which were expected because we had to prepare the plant in the second quarter. But from June the 30th, for July, we had a full income from this plant which were in line with our estimates, which are expected to have high profitability and high return to shareholders regarding the operation of this asset. Another important highlight, just before I talk about UTM, just let me tell you that what we did in the Paulínia landfill, and it also has to do with the previous slide, what we did in Paulínia will be done in all the other landfills the company acquired. They all came without revenues coming from biogas and electrical power. But now we are implementing biogas plants and also agreements to sell biomethane and electric power. So in the next few months, in all of those seven landfills will have new income from the selling of biogas, biomethane, and electric power. This is good for the carbon credits that are going to be generated in these landfills. We've been developing that in all of them. This is the same for all the other assets. That is the beauty of this. Whenever we buy a new landfill, we will have new growth, new EBITDA coming from these new assets that we acquire. Now, let me talk about UTN. This is a project to give value and to generate income from renewables. This is our first UTM, as I said before. One of the main highlights here is that we managed to implement the UTM in 14 months as expected. And regarding the expected CAPEX, also, it started being commissioned in June. I mean, it's under commissioning now in June, July, and August with assisted operation with the manufacturer, which is Stadler, a German manufacturer that will be with us till August to deliver all the good metrics according to agreement. The plant has been performing well, as you can see in that picture. It's separating recycled products according to the expectations that we had based on the project. And on the third quarter, this plant will be generating EBITDA and income for the Joabotão dos Guararapes assets. Just UTE Paulínia is an example for all the other assets. And this UTM also will set an example to be replicated in all the other landfills to generate new recycled products and RDFs, as explained in the left side of one of the previous slides. Now let me call Leo to talk about the financial highlights. Good morning, everyone. So on slide 9, let me talk about the main numbers, the main figures of the company for the second quarter of 2022. Regarding our accounting figures, Orizon reported 61% growth in its growth revenue from 105 million, moving up to 170 million. In the second quarter of this year. This growth came from the growth in volume of waste and also the incorporation of the new assets. Here we can see the numbers of the previous year of this year. So it went from 494 to 570, reporting a 15% growth. So this is a strong growth. This 15% will get stronger as we consolidate and incorporate the new assets that we acquired. Now let's talk about the adjusted EBITDA of the company. In the same period last year, the company reported at 37,569 million EBITDA, and we grew 27% now with almost 48 million. And considering the whole year, there was a 4% growth. Now let's talk about leverage. An important indicator is the net debt in EBITDA, which went from 3.11. And this current debt includes not only the financial debt coming from funding and loans, and also the debt to acquire the assets. So this 826 million is the total debt. If you look at our financial demonstrations and account payable accounts and circulating and non-circulating assets to finance and acquire the landfills, So this is the total of the assets we have today. It includes not only the original assets of Horizon and also the new assets. And then let's talk about the normalized EBITDA for 380 million. Let me explain you this, which is to consider the current assets working and giving us the expected results and what we can expect for the next few quarters for the UTE Paulínia and other landfills with carbon credits. There will be a leverage that is good. Let's talk about the debt amortization schedule. Very long flow, as you can see. On the next slide, this was also published at the message from our management, which is we try not only help the investor, but also the top management of the company to see how we are working on managing the company in terms of operating expenses. Considering the EBITDA, we have the original Horizon assets. They reported an operating result of 33 million. We had an impact reported of 14.8 million due to incorporation of the new assets, which totalizes a 47.9 million accounted EBITDA for this year. If we are to consider the whole EBITDA of UPI Aterros, we would have 9.2 million more. It had a 24, almost 25 million of impact. We managed to check in our accounting figures, 9 million were not reported because these assets were not consolidated. It was what we call the pro forma EBITDA. This column of 57 million here, which is the pro forma EBITDA for the second quarter. Here we have we try and understand how much we would have if we incorporate the impact of UTE Paulínia and the biomethane plant of Paulínia. As Pilan explained, it uses 35%-40% of the biogas coming from the Paulínia landfill. Just let me tell you that it doesn't include the total of the potential impact of biomethane, only half of it. It's already contracted. We have already invested in it. In July, we could see a very good result for Paulínia landfills. 17 million account for the carbon credits coming from Horizon original assets without considering the new assets because we don't know about the carbon credits of these new ones. Then we multiplied it by the price of the recent transactions of the company considering the current exchange value. It would give us 17 million, getting to the point of the normalized EBITDA of 95.1 million, which would account for 380.4 for the full year. This is a normalized EBITDA of 380 with a very good 2.17% in debt, which is a pretty healthy percentage. Now, let me go to slide 12. I believe you can see it on the screen. Let me talk about the operating highlights of this quarter. The company grew 9%, comparing the equal basis. If you compare the second quarter of 2021 with the second quarter of 2022, we have 12 ecoparks, and we grew 9%. As Pilan said in the beginning, this company has 8 million tons of waste under our management, and we went from 2 million in the second quarter of 21, and we have 9% of this quarter. And also a 4% if we consider the LTM. In terms of carbon credits generations, we had a much smaller plant at Jaboatão dos Guararapes, and now we have seen a very good increase in power generation, so carbon credits follow this figure. We have other sites like João Pessoa, which also grew in carbon credits. So it all accounted for a 25% growth in the physical volume of carbon credits. We didn't sell carbon credits in this semester. So the virtual stock or the pro forma stock that we have, and in the past 12 months, in this year, we would have 2 million carbon credits generated. But we didn't get there. For 21, we reached 1.6 million, but we believe we will achieve the 2 million that we expect in 11% growth. In terms of average generation of biogas, part of this growth that you see is explained by the biogas that was coming from the Paulínia landfill. It's not fully explored yet. By the end of the June, it started working with and functioning. But right now we have physical biogas there starting to be produced. And here in the past 12 months, this impact is 5%. Now Pilon will close this presentation, and later we'll have our Q&A session. Thank you. Let us talk about the growth expectation. If you consider the normalized EBITDA, this is very important to consider this normalized EBITDA because it normalizes what is under operation currently in this quarter, but which was not captured in the result. Either because the landfill started being processed by the end of May or by the end of June. So it just normalized this what we had under operation. But here on this slide, let me tell you that maybe that quarter estimate will change because new factors will be included into this EBITDA. We hope they will help us leverage our results in the next few quarters. So let's talk about estimated growth. In terms of organic growth, I believe we have something new to tell you, which is the constitution of Horizon Energy and Renewable Gas. And it's a decision of the company to take this position to be the off-taker of biogas to generate biogas or energy. We will no longer sell biogas and leave this biogas EBITDA or renewable gas EBITDA to others. We will be the off-taker of biogas with Horizon Energia and Gas Renovável. And will be the owner of all the new companies that are being constituted to buy biogas from the eco parks and resell it, either renewable gas or power energy. By the end of this year, we'll have events with our investors to better explain it. Given the size of it, this company will be able to explore revenue and a result in the renewable gas market and also energy generation market that will be very important for the company. That will be an engine to make our organic growth happen. Now, we also have the start of the process to register carbon credits that were recently acquired. These carbon credits coming from these newly acquired assets. Considering this, all of these new assets that we have contracted and that we've we've been working on. We are registering the carbon credits. And let me tell you that Paulínia may generate carbon credits even this year, and the others will generate carbon from next year on, and later they will be sold. Number three, the start of UTM Jaboatão. The commercial operation is expected to happen in the, or to start on the third quarter of 2022 with sales of recyclables. And we expect to replicate this plant in all the landfills base that we have. And number four, we are evaluating new opportunities to reuse the sludge coming from the eco parks based on this idea of circular economy. We plan to do it in all of our net eco parks. We hope to have novelties for investors to turn this sludge into an organomineral fertilizer. So we are in the final stage to sign a partnership with a company which already implements this technology and produce this organomineral fertilizer. But this company doesn't have the raw material, but we have this raw material. We have sludge coming from this eco part. So this will open a new pathway of business to use this sludge from these eco parks for this partnership. Regarding the inorganic growth, as we call it, in the short term, I believe many of these initiatives are related to short-term, long-term growth. But in the short term, we are waiting for the Maceió municipality to consolidate the land assets of UPI Aterros. UPI Aterros had 7 landfills and 1 blending and reverse logistics plant. One of these landfills, 6 of them are already in our bases. The 7th landfill, which is the Maceió landfill, it was not a private landfill, it was a concession. So we are still waiting to be authorized for us to transfer this asset. This transference has already gone through the controllership and all the other authorities, and we hope to have this approval by the end of, or by the middle of September. And then this Maceió landfill will also make part of our assets. We are still evaluating several M&A opportunities of landfills. Many people ask me whether Horizon will continue increasing the number of landfills, and the answer is yes. Obviously, as we have done up until now, we will continue acquiring landfills with responsibility and considering the shareholders' return. And now we have several M&A opportunities, and many of them are under due diligence process or acquiring process and so on. And we are in an advanced phase to close an acquisition of an asset in a strategic region that has lack of solution to adequate waste disposal. We will close this deal in August, by the end of this month. In this region, which is similar to Cuiabá, we have waste areas there. And there is a newly built landfill. And so in the short term, we hope to have this new landfill added to our base. Anything else, Léo? No, this was the last slide. So we open the floor for your questions. We are prepared to answer your questions, and we are available. And once again, thank you for your time and your presence in this call to listen to the Horizon results for the second quarter. We will now start the Q&A session for investors and analysts. If you want to ask a question, please press the reaction button and then click on raise your hand. If your question is answered, you can leave the queue by clicking on drop hand. Please wait until we collect your questions. Our first question comes from Mr. Rafael Nagano. Rafael, Mr. Rafael, your floor, you can make your question. Good morning, Pilar and Leonardo. I have three questions. The first has to do the biomethane contracts under negotiation. Can you give us a view about the prices in this market on average for these long-term contracts, these long-term agreements? And the second question has to do with Cuiabá. Do you have any updates regarding the negotiation with the Cuiabá municipality and Varja Grande municipality to destinate their waste to your landfill? How is it going? And the final question has to do with this new acquisition that will be done by the end of August. You told us that is similar to Cuiabá. Is it similar in terms of size and volume as well? Thank you very much. Thank you, Rafael, for your question. Thank you very much. Now, talking about the biomethane agreements, well, the taker, I mean, let me tell you that biomethane, sometimes people confuse this. Biomethane is a renewable natural gas. It has the same makeup, it's the same product as the natural gas, but it's a natural renewable gas. So it means that I can sell it to a gas distribution company or the sector. I can sell it to petrol stations. I mean, it has the same makeup, the same formula of the natural gas. So we will join this market. In the past few months, we've been discussing with players in this industry or distributors. We've been discussing an agreement to sell this biomethane that we'll be generating in all of our landfills. These agreements, Rafael, they have some characteristics. First, in terms of schedule, we have negotiated schedules of 5 to 10 year agreements, like take or pay agreements of our gas, because the industry and the distributors today, they demand this gas a lot, because this gas will not suffer from dollar variations or gas prices. We have negotiated 5 to 10 year agreements according to IPCA adjustments. This brings stabilities to the buyer, because it's not will not be affected by dollar or gas prices. And also, it's safe for us because we can have an estimated revenue coming from these agreements. Well, regarding the price, Rafael, let me tell you that this renewable natural gas today have been sold with premium prices if compared to natural gas, because it brings a decarbonization component. It has to be more expensive than natural gas because the buyer will have this benefit related to decarbonification. And there is a second premium because it is a premium product, which, I mean, which is not fully or openly supplied by the market. The demand is higher than the supply in the country. So you obviously can intangibly achieve a higher price for this price because this is a premium product. I mean, biomethane is a premium product. So I can tell you that the prices are premium prices if compared to the price charged for the natural gas. Now, regarding Cuiabá, well, let me tell you that we hope that Cuiabá would receive waste from two cities, obviously Cuiabá and Várzea Grande, these two cities, and also a waste coming from a consortium of cities, a small part of it, but mainly these two cities, Vazia Grande and Cuiabá. Vazia Grande is already dealt with. It has been destining 100% of its waste to that landfill. And in Cuiabá, we have signed the contract with Cuiabá municipality last week. This is a good news. The signing of the contract was done last week. So from September on, we receive Cuiabá waste as well. So we expect to have that asset as expected of 30-35 tons per month, according to our estimates. So we believe this asset will achieve or reach our estimates from September on. Now, regarding the new landfill, let me tell you that the size of it, if compared to Cuiabá, let me tell you that it's 60% of the Cuiabá site. So it's big, but not as big. It's also located in a capital region, in a capital city. This is a new landfill. We bought this when it was under licensing process, and we hope to start operating it as soon as it's ready. This will be the only alternative in that region, I mean, as a licensed landfill. And this is a region that really needs to close its waste disposal site, because it's very important in terms of preservation of the ecosystem and all. And so we hope to help them with that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Our next question came from Mr. Alexandre Ramos. He says, thank you and congratulations for the evolution of the company. Now, regarding operating numbers, can we expect the maintenance of the growth in terms of waste volume of 9% in the next quarters? Can you also talk about the expected growth for other activities such as biogas, carbon credits, and so on? Let me share this answer with Leo. Leo. Thank you for your question. Well, in terms of waste volume, we do not expect a reduction. So this 9% performance is expected for the next few quarters, yes. And in terms of carbon credits, let me tell you that our growth tends to be stronger if compared to the beginning of last year, because we were not operational at Jaboatão. So the growth that we had there are being felt now. We hope to have a representative growth of carbon credits in the second half of this year if compared to last year. And the same goes for biogas. There was a reduction in power generation because Jaboatão was already working last year, but we still have some growth, and biogas will grow in a similar fashion. But in terms of biogas, when you have Paulínia, it will grow more, but it's not based on the assets. It's based on the consolidated growth of the company. So we hope to have a second half of year that is promising in terms of operating indicators. Our question came from Mr. Arlindo Souza, who says, good morning. I'd like to better understand the administration plans regarding capital structure of the company, given the high volume of recent investments. Arlindo, thank you for your question. Well, we had one special chapter in our release saying that we have a healthy capital structure in terms of leverage, considering the size of our company in this third quarter already. Yes, we have several opportunities to continue investing. We are now studying or analyzing the best way to leverage the company in the long run, not to hurt our indicators. We don't hope to see our capital growth considering these opportunities, but we have always looked into the market capitals not to lose opportunities. The management of the company doesn't want to leave growth opportunities behind, but our priority is to do it in a diligent, disciplined way, but still have a capacity of debt capacity that is healthy in the company. We have a very good duration, a very proper duration, so we believe we can still take advantage of these opportunities. Our next question came from Mr. André Barbosa from WBM Capital. He says that in the management message, the company presented a normalized EBITDA of 95 million per third quarter. Can we expect the same for the next few quarters? Thank you, Linda. Thank you for your question. Yes, as I told you before during my presentation, this normalized EBITDA represents or accounts for what our results would have shown if UTE Paulínia and UPI Aterros assets had been considered in the first day of this quarter. They did enter in this quarter, but in different times, in different periods of this within this quarter. So what we wanted to show is that this structure is already operating. That normalized EBITDA means the normalized EBITDA for the second EBITDA, if the machine had captured from day one. It doesn't mean that we will remain on the same area, because this EBITDA, I mean, our estimate is to make this percentage grow, this figure grow, because UTM will bring results from the third quarter on. I mean, it's invested, it is in our debt, it is in our cost, but it's still not generating revenue at this quarter, I mean, the quarter we presented here. And also, we have new landfills for the next a few months. Certainly the Maceió landfill and the new landfill, which is an acquisition, will join our base during the second half. So they will lead to new opportunities and new growth. And obviously there are gains, different gains coming to our base. And in this quarter, even considering the impact coming from inflation suffered by all the companies in the country, even with that, we were happy because we managed to transfer this price and even improved our result, our contribution margin at our Eco Parks. And for the second half of the year, we expect to have better improvements with price adjustments that didn't happen in the first half of the year and that are expected to come and provide the company with good or positive impacts. So we hope to have from this normalized number and upwards for the in the next few months. Our next question comes from Mrs. Gabriela Lima. Your mic is on. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pilan and Leo. First, congratulations for your results. Congratulations on all of that. These results are very good for this quarter. And I have two questions. First, regarding carbon credits, I'd like to understand which was the revenue that you achieved coming from carbon credits and also their volumes and when they will be accounted for. And regarding the operationality of the new assets, what are you expecting in terms of EBITDA and CAPEX? And when do you expect them to be fully operational? Thank you, Gabriela. In terms of carbon credits, we had no revenue yet in this second quarter, I mean, the first half, the first semester, because as Leo explained before, we generated carbon credits and we had a significant increase in the generation in terms of 25%, but we didn't sell them yet. It's similar to what happened last year, because we have the option of choosing when we are going to sell them. We always try to find the best timing, the best price to sell our carbon, to bring the, or to achieve the best price per ton. So it was just like last year, we generated a volume that was higher, 25% higher, and you have a sale agreement which was signed in the third quarter, but it's not in our revenue because are due to accounting reasons, but the price was higher if compared to the price we charged last year. So when we try to have a normalized estimate with carbon at $7, that's the estimate. Now, by the end of the year, we hope to present to you, I mean, let me tell you that the main challenge of this company is to be focused, because the number of projects and the percentage of growth is huge. We have several options in all of our assets. Only with Paulínia asset, we account for 35% of gas of one of the assets. You can see, you can understand how big the opportunity or the options are. So I could not make projections related to EBITDA, because what Paulínia site shows to us is that each of these landfills that comes with a EBITDA connected to destination, and Leo, when he talks about the EBITDA normalization, you can see that these landfills only work with destinations. They have no other options. And they have 9 million in EBITDA per month already. And you can understand the size of EBITDA that will be brought by UTA Paulínia and biomethane with only 35% of this. So the opportunities is to multiply this revenue and multiply an EBITDA. This comes also with a connected CAPEX, of course, but the return on investment are extraordinary if you think about it. So it's good for us that we can see that. When Leo talk about the leverage of the company, this company doubles the EBITDA in one year, and the leverage is healthy and the level of debt is also healthy. We would like to accelerate the machine even more, because we do have projects, but we are responsible and we want to maintain leverage under control. And at the same time, multiply the growth of the company. So by the end of the year, we hope, according to our discussions, we hope to show you in a horizon day. We hope to show you the side of opportunities generated by the biomethane recyclables and carbon credits and sludge units in the next few years. These are gigantic opportunities, and we hope to talk more about that in the Horizon Day by the end of the year. Thank you. Just a comment. Well, you talked about the volume of carbon credits that you negotiated and which were not accounted for in this quarter. Well, it was regarding this negotiation I would like to know more about, I mean, the revenue, if you can tell me. Well, in fact, Gabriela, and this is Leo, in fact, we didn't account for it because of contract reasons, and we'll be verifying this through the third and fourth quarter. Pilão gave a spoiler about prices already, but we hope to have better prices and also a significant volume of one specific landfill of ours. As soon as we close this deal regarding carbon credits. As Pilon said, we didn't sell this quarter, didn't sell this semester, and we have generated 473 million carbon credits for now. And when do you plan to let us know about that? Well, we will account for that in the third and fourth quarters. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pilão and Leonardo. Thank you, Gabriela. Our next question comes from Mr. Manuel Guimarães, who says, could you talk a little bit about Horizon Energia and the expectation to implement projects? Can you please repeat the question? Could you talk about Horizon Energy, and the expectation? What do you expect from the implementation of projects? Well, I believe that Horizon Energia, we have the goal of structuring and organizing the funding of these projects. We have a base of waste assets, which will have the possibility of, which will give us the possibility of implementing several biomethane plants. Right now, we have one of our managers in the U.S. negotiating new agreements for these purification plants. So this is a short-term drive, and it's extreme priority. It's an extreme priority in our company to generate biogas. And as soon as biogas is generated, which expected in the short term, as soon as we install the purification plants to generate biomethane, so the faster we do that, the faster we'll have results. But we expect that in the next 60 days, we close the capital structure for the renewable gas and energy companies so it can implement at least 8 or 9 projects similar to Paulínia biomethane project in the next 2 years. That's our expectation. Because we have waste, we have biogas, the plants are being negotiated by our engineer department and engineer managers in the U.S. And these agreements are also being discussed and being negotiated. It's now up to the company to define the capital structure for the for this company, the Horizon Energy, which will require given capex, but which will also provide us with good results. And in the next 60 days, we hope to give you more information about it. Our next question comes from Vanessa Troyak. How does this operational integration of acquired assets are being faced by the management in terms of challenges? Thank you for your question. Well, I'm very happy to tell you that the integration of the new assets was seamless and was successful. It's not simple for a company such as Horizon, which had 5 eco parks, to deal with 7 new eco parks as fast as we did. So we almost doubled the number of employees. We doubled the size we doubled the waste under our management. But in terms of integration, let me tell you that first, it's more of the same. We didn't lose our focus. We didn't acquire things we are not used to dealing with. So we are still dealing with waste. We have a back office, an administrative back office, which is extremely prepared to absorb the impact of these satellite eco parks around our back office. So this integration was done in a pretty fast pace. We relied on professionals coming from our original eco parks. They were transferred to the management department of this new eco parks. So the management could be done in a fast way. And implementation of our MO in terms of cost, operation of gas, operation of garbage, operation of waste, and the cell per se is 100% under our control and being well managed. What we still miss is to integrate the systems, because many of these landfills, they required working with a back office administrative structure, which was new to them. And we hope to have this integration finished within 60 to 90 days. We are very happy with these new employees and this new phase for the company. The Q&A session is finished by now. And now let me call Mr. Milton Pilon, who will say the company final remarks. Thank you very much, everyone, for your time. Leo and Marcel and myself, we are available to you to answer your questions or any comments you might have. We'll remain available for you. I want to answer each of your questions. Thank you very much and take care. Thank you all for your participation and have a good day.